is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. We're open just for you. Came in early on a Saturday morning just to talk to you a little bit, just to answer your legal questions is mainly what I like to do. So if you have something that's been bothering you during the week, or maybe couldn't sleep last night, have a legal question, you are worried about your legal rights, someone has stepped over the line a little bit, you're not being treated correctly, or if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to dial the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call. It can be just about anything. It can be about wills, trust, power of attorneys, health care surrogates, living wills. It can be about personal injury. It can be about family law. It can be about real estate transactions. If you have a legal question, again, toll-free number, 877-943-9673. You're listening to Ask an Attorney. And that's the name of the show, Ask an Attorney, longest running show in Florida. Started the show in 1984. Had one continual format, just answering your legal questions. One host, that's me. And glad to be here to answer a legal question to help you out, give you a little peace of mind. Toll free number 877-943-9673. I'd like to share a few examples of how people can get a result they don't really want. So I never give names and slightly change some of the facts once in a while on client stories. So, but never, of course, give names of clients on the air, even where I met them. And we have 20 office locations, so it could be all over the state of Florida. So in this particular case, a man had he had a second wife. The wife had no children of her own. He had one child who was 9 years old. He divorced his wife, but he had the mortgage was in his name. He deeded her the house, kept the mortgage in his name. And then she died. She had three children from outside of their marriage and one minor child, 9 years old. So the way this works is now she owned the house. His deceased ex-wife died, owned the house, and he had the mortgage. Now he feels obligated to pay the mortgage payments, and the deceased wife's children are living in the house. So what would be the best step to go about it? Well, he's in a bad position. He's paying the mortgage on the house, and he doesn't own the house. And the only way to take hold of this thing is to try to petition the court for him to be the personal representative to get the house sold. And then the mortgage would be paid off. But that's a tricky question. Another case this week, where a man in a second marriage wanted to leave, let his wife live in the house with a life estate for life. And then upon her death, he wanted to give it to three of his six kids. Three kids were adopted that they have no relationship with any longer. And he wanted to be able to have his wife live in the house for life and then have, upon her death, have it go to the three children instead of the six children. Well, guess what? It's homestead. So absent a pre- or post-marital agreement, some waiver of rights of homestead rights, you can't really, the wife has an automatic right to a life estate. And then upon her death, the property automatically goes to all six children. And you can't really devise it away from the spouse or restrict the spouse and then have where it goes afterwards. All right, we can talk a little bit more about that as we go on. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to John in Jacksonville.
Yes. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Okay, I can, yes.
All right. Okay, here's what happened. I bought a house approximately three years ago in Jacksonville. And I've had nothing but septic problems since. And I ended up having to replace the septic system. It's completely, the front of the tank, it's a 1942 house. The front of the tank has been gone since 1943, it looked like. It looked like a bomb went off. There was no septic tank. It was just leaching into the yard. And they disclosed, under disclosure, no plumbing problems. Well, there were receipts here. There was nothing but problems. It got where I had to empty the tank every month. They kept on getting more and more. So I started digging around it, and I've got amazing pictures. Anyway, $10,000 later, I have a new system, and I like to collect it from, Exit Realty and the realtor. The realtor tried to sell me a septic tank. Said there was a little... it's old and down the road, I can get a good deal for you. That doesn't give it away. Mm-hmm. I don't know what does, but anyway.
Did your contract buy the house as is?
I had to inspect it and.
Okay. So you had.
I don't know that.
All right. So an attorney's going to have to look at the contract. If you bought it as is, and then you also had it inspected, then your legal right might be against the company that did the inspection. And otherwise, you'd have to prove it was a fraudulent sale where the seller had knowledge of the problem ahead of time.
No. Okay, what I've read, of course, just briefly, it says pretty much it has to be disclosed and discounted. The sale of the price and that price and that sale of the house, or
but sir, it has to be disclosed if you know about it. So you would have to prove they knew about it, and plus you also had it inspected. Hey, listen, you have a very complicated.
They had it inspected. It was their inspector, I think. But it was the inspector. Go ahead.
All right. Well, normally you would pay for the inspection, so the inspector would be liable to you. But anyway, you have a very complicated question, for the couple of minutes you and I are going to talk about. What you really need to do is to go see a real estate litigation attorney. To review your contract, to review the inspection, look at the timelines on statute of limitations when you can file a lawsuit. And then get a legal answer that way.
Okay.
You might very well have a case, and it was very well worthwhile you pursuing to have an attorney look at the contract, look at the inspection, look at the listing agreement. All those things need to be looked at in a little detail in a conversation with you, and go from there.
Okay. The biggest thing with the attorney, and so I didn't know which attorney to go to. So it's a real estate litigation attorney.
Yes, sir. If you need to, if you need to be able to find one, you can contact me. If you can't find one, I can give you some hints on how to find one.
I would love to get. You want to call you on Monday, or?
Or you can email me.
All right. Very good. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Bye-bye. I'll give out my email address as we move through the show here. If you have a legal question, you have a toll free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Bill in Newport Richey. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
My question is, I was involved in an automobile accident in August. I'm sorry, in September. And I was charged with not paying attention to the driver, and I had somebody from behind.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, due to my own ignorance, I had the minimum amount of insurance on my vehicle. And I've received a letter from my insurance company saying that that the person that I hit has hired an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And in all likelihood, they're going to come after me for whatever. She's under the care of a chiropractor at the time. She was under the care of a chiropractor at the time of the accident.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know what her injuries are from the accident, if they just made whatever she had worse or she's got new ones. And I guess I'm just a little concerned about it's a little late now, but how do I go about protecting my assets, if I can?
Well, anything you do now done strictly to protect assets could be a fraudulent transfer that could be overturned since there is a threat of litigation. Now, that's not good news for you, I guess, and I always like to give the best news I can, but the fact is that if you're already in a position where you could be sued and you already have a pending threat of litigation hanging over your head, you can't go out and move around assets just to protect them. Has the insurance company paid the person? Did they max out your policy and pay them all your policy was worth?
Well, they paid for the damage on the vehicle, which was $3,800.
Mm-hmm.
To my knowledge, they have not paid anything on the medical. I don't know because I haven't received any information from them. And
the good news is this. So you need to call your insurance company and see if they paid anything out on the medical claim. If they've maxed out the policy, if you've got a $10,000 policy and they've written a check for $10,000, then you could be liable for anything over that. Then you would need a defense attorney probably to argue your case that she was already seeing a chiropractor and that the accident didn't really cause her additional. It might have aggravated it a little bit, and you know, $10,000 might satisfy it, but then they will have to provide medical evidence that the accident aggravated it, made it worse, and then put a value on it. But you really don't have to worry. I guess the good news is you don't have to worry until the insurance company agrees and maximizes your policy and writes them a check for the $10,000 max. And then that opens the door for the client to come against you for any excess in that. I would call the insurance company and see if they've maximized the policy. The other good news is your homestead is exempt from any lawsuit or any creditor. Your retirement accounts, right. Your retirement accounts are protected from lawsuits and creditors. So you probably have some assets that are protected from creditors, primarily your homestead and your retirement accounts. If you have insurance and annuity products under Florida Statute 222, then they're also protected. Anything? Are you married?
I am married, and I own a piece of property, a commercial piece of property in Port Richey that I have rented out.
Anything held jointly between husband and wife, tenants by the entirety, is also protected against the lawsuit just against you. Does your wife, hopefully doesn't own the car with you? What?
No, she doesn't own. She doesn't. My name's on the title of the
car.
All right.
Well, see, they can usually sue the owner of the car and the driver. So if you were the owner of the car and the driver, they can only sue you. They can't get to jointly held assets between husband and wife. They can't get to your homestead. They can't get to retirement accounts. So you might very well be somewhat protected with all of that and not have to worry about changing assets around too much.
If the fact all the properties that I own are in a trust, does that make them more protected?
Generally not. Is it a joint trust that you and your wife own?
Yes.
Well, there again, it's jointly held assets, tenants by the entirety. So the trust itself wouldn't protect. The trust itself is usually an estate planning document to avoid probate, avoid guardianship, make it quick, easy, fast, efficient, and private.
Right.
It's not an asset protection document. Because you're the owner, and you can, if it's a revocable trust, then you're the owner, you can do anything you want to with the assets. All right, but
well,
first,
you made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah, I gave it. I found some good news. Some good news in your question. All right.
But I'm still probably going. They're still probably going to come after me. Who knows what? You'd have to wait and see.
Well, sometimes they send you a notice to tell you what. Once they max out the policy, the attorney on the other side might send you a letter wanting to know what your assets are. So you might let an attorney frame that answer to show that they don't really have, you don't really have any assets they could go after because everything is held jointly with right of survivorship, or it's a retirement account, or it's your home, and there are no assets to go after you with, and that might help some too as well.
Would they be able to, if they go do that part, would they be able to get a judgment against me? Or no?
If they sue you, yeah, they could. If they sue you and can prove their claim, they can possibly get a judgment against you if it gets that far.
Right. Okay. Well, all right. Guess we'll just have to wait and see what comes up.
All right. Well, at least I did find some good information to give you there.
Joe, I appreciate your help.
All right, thank you. All right,
bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. That was a great question. I enjoyed that question because there's so much helpful information to so many different people who might be listening that could benefit from just parts of that answer that applies to people. Do you have asset protection information in there about owning a car? You have information in there about what assets you have that are protected from lawsuits? Got into a little bit about living trust information there. So there are multiple elements of great information to a lot of the listeners. So I love a question like that, actually. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. You have a toll-free number. If you want to call the show, we're about 30% way through the show already. You have time to call. It's 877. It's the toll-free number, 877. 943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Law office is open. Hey, give us a call. It's December the 14th, 2019. Got one more show before Christmas. Hey, if you have a legal question, why worry about it? I give you a little peace of mind. 877 is the toll-free number, 943-9673. If you want to receive our estate planning poster sheet, all you need to do is to ask for it. We mail it to you at our cost. You can get it one of three ways. You can contact our office and call and ask for it. We have a toll-free number there, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You would go to extension 200, and the person there that answers the phone, tell them you'd like the free estate planning poster sheet, and they'll mail it to you. You can look at it online. You can look at it at www.attypip.com. You can go online and even request it. That's www.attypip.com. You can text for it. You can text to 727-667-3967. 727-667-3967. Phone line, we're broadcasting today from Jacksonville. You might be listening to us in the Jacksonville area on WBOB AM 600. Also WBOB FM 101.1. If your signal is not so great on the 600, you might try the FM 101.1. You're also broadcasting, the program is being sent to the Tampa station, who spreads it out to other stations. The Tampa family, Salem Communications in Tampa is 570, 910, 860, 930, multiple stations there. Also in Clearwater, WTAN carries the program. Haines City, WLVF, 90.3 FM. There's a Crystal Rock station, FM station 103.3. There's the Sun City Center station, 96.3 FM out of Haines City, Florida. There's going to be a major event there in the Haines, in the Sun City Center. I think it's like the second Wednesday. I'll give you more information as we get a little bit closer to it. But the second Wednesday in January, we have an Ask an Attorney, Meet the Attorney, Ask an Attorney event in Sun City Center. We'll be telling you all about that in the next couple of weeks. Let's go to Tony in Tampa. Hey, Tony.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I have my mother's 90 years old. She's received a subpoena in the mail for testify at a hearing, and I was wondering if she's unable. She has macular degeneration, and she can't attend the hearing. Mm-hmm.
Get a doctor's note that she's medically not able to attend the hearing.
Okay.
And give that to the attorney that subpoenaed her, or give them a copy of it.
Very good. Okay.
All right.
Very good.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Let's go to Mary in St. Petersburg.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hi. I have four rental properties. Each of those houses have their own insurance policy. Do you recommend getting an umbrella policy if I have that many properties?
Yeah, I would. If you can get one, I definitely would get one. The choices on asset protection and rental properties are have them insured to where you don't have any worries about the liability of what happens on the properties, have plenty of insurance, or do an LLC for each different property. Those are the two main primary choices that people choose.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney, host of Ask an Attorney for 35 years, believe it or not. And if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call. You have a toll-free number, 877 is the toll-free number, 877-943-9673, 943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Bob in Dunedin.
Good morning. It's a question in regards to power of attorney. I realize there's five different power of attorney. The one I'm zeroing in on is a durable mm-hmm. power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's made out. The gentleman that is giving us the power has given it to a friend of his, her son, and to a third person, or. In other words, in that order.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, this was 5 years ago that it was made out, witnessed, signed, and notarized. Unfortunately, the third name, the gentleman is in a car accident, and is, at this point, to politely put it, it probably will not be around when the gentleman that signed the durable power of attorney. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me say that if it's or, then
yes,
any one of the three can be the power of attorney without the signatures
correct.
Of the other two.
That's why we put the or in.
Right. Yes, sir.
And then you have to have so multiple signs or whatever.
Yes.
The point is, what we want to do is the gentleman wants to put a line.
No, you never write on the original document.
Okay, so just it has to be a new document.
No, it's just the other two can act.
Okay,
they don't need the third signature. So the fact that his name, the third name, is on there doesn't matter.
Okay,
because either one of the other two can act.
Okay, the thing is, he wanted another person put on as well.
Oh, no, we'll see, the document is witnessed and notarized, so you can't, after the fact, go in and write on it and change the third person.
Okay, it's not the signature that's notarized, it's the document that's notarized.
Yes, sir. Well, it's his signature.
Okay.
It's his signature that's being notarized, but the document's already done. So if you have a change to the document by adding another person, then there's going to have to be a new document done.
Okay, so it cannot by the gentleman that's wants the power of attorney to be put in effect.
Yeah, by the creator of the power of attorney has to sign a new document.
Okay, so it has to be a whole new document, whole new witness, and this. And
well,
this
it could light. It could be amended, but the fee we charge is going to be a cleaner document. Just to have a new document,
yep.
And the fee
that's
would
what,
be
that's what we're coming to. That's what I think it is. I mean,
yeah, no, the fee for a power of attorney, a durable power of attorney in our office is like $125.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like that's a 14-page document that has under the new statute. There's like 3 pages of powers that he has to initial, called special transaction or super powers. Most of those who we get clients to initial pertain to planning for Medicaid.
Right.
You know, if there's a nursing home and Medicaid benefits that can be sought after, then the power of attorney should have those in there. But those powers have to be initialed, so. So you'd have to sign a new power of attorney.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I know all the he's got his initial all down one page and the next page and the next page, and I just wondered if a change could be affected, and then he initial it again. But it's better to go ahead and spend the dollars and cents and get a whole new one.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's
all right.
I thank you kindly.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Larry in Tampa. Hey, Larry.
Yes, good morning, Joe.
Morning.
What a terrific program.
Well, thank you.
Just wanted to follow up on two of your prior calls, the gentleman from the Jacksonville area and also the lady on this LLC issue. I get conflicting information from our accounting person about whether a property held, a piece of real property held in a single person LLC in Florida is protected against claims, let's say a bogus slip and fall or something like that, whether for that protection you needed more than one, you had to have like a multi-party LLC.
Yeah, in LLCs, we usually like to have multiple members, even though if one has 99% interest and one only has 1%. It's safer to have multiple members. But it doesn't have to be a 50-50 multiple member. It could be 99 and 1. And also, then the question becomes, if you don't want to give someone 1% ownership, basically, then you could just do a subchapter S type of corporation that also offers asset protection.
And is it a good? I would think intuitively it might be a good idea to avoid having a husband and wife as the two members of the LLC on the grounds that someone could then try to...
Yeah, if they can sue both of them, sue both of them, then they can possibly get to the joint assets.
Would a C Corp also be a good other...
Yeah,
member?
Either a C or an S. I would say the majority of people would do an S to ease the burden of tax record keeping and all that just a little bit, and the number of turns that are refiled and so forth.
Does your office ever help with reviewing something like this with an accountant to make sure it's in good shape?
Yeah, we either have a meeting with the accountant in the office or have the accountant on the phone line with a conference call during a meeting like that, yes.
Is there one of your attorneys that kind of works? Does Jim do it or is it a different one?
No, that's something that I would do, and I have other. I have at least one other attorney that could do the same thing.
Got it. Could I just check with your secretary then to get an appointment?
Yeah, you're calling from Tampa?
Tampa, yeah.
Yeah, so it'd probably be me that you'd be dealing with.
Oh, that's fantastic.
All
I'll
right.
get with the office. So a wonderful holiday season, and congratulations on a fantastic program.
Well, thank you so much.
You bet.
All right, let's go to Steve in Sarasota.
Good morning, Joe. My name's Steve, obviously. I have a question about insurance policies for homeowners. I recently had an incident at my house where my house got flooded over an 11-month period, where an air conditioning contracting company installed a new AC system, and instead of running the condensation pipe out through the soffit, they connected it to my central vacuum system. And so for 11 months, we didn't know that 2.3 gallons of toxic water was going down inside the pipe in our central vac system into our kitchen, and dispersing under our hardwood floors and plywood subfloor. So for 11 months, this water just spread throughout the ground floor of the house, which had been totally remodeled. Everything, we'd stripped the house back to the drywall and renewed everything in the home. And when we found out, obviously about 19,000 gallons of water had gone under all the floors, and the house had filled completely with black mould. And on top of that, I then got pneumonia. My dog died of a respiratory failure. I got pneumonia and then got diagnosed with terminal lung disease caused by the mould in the house. And
when did all this happen?
Last July. And I've subsequently sued the air conditioning company.
You have an attorney that filed a lawsuit?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
And it's now come to light that his policy, his million-dollar liability policy, has a fungal exclusion clause.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the majority of policies in Florida, including plumbing policies for plumbers, have this fungal and water penetration exclusion clause. And I wanted to know if there was anything I could do about that.
Well, Steve, you have an attorney representing you, so it's really unethical for me to get too involved in trying to help you at this point. What does your attorney say about that?
We're trying to prove negligence, which we can. Case studies have said that if negligence is caused, the court can overrule the fungal exclusion clause.
Do you think the person who installed it has assets that owns the company?
Yes, they do. They're in an LLC.
But if the assets are in an LLC, you sue the LLC, and then the LLC. When the LLC has money, you can attach those assets, but not him personally. So, has your attorney done demand letter to disclose the assets of the LLC?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I just wondered if you knew of any other, if you'd ever come across an exclusion clause like that.
Oh yeah, I think there are probably in all of those type of policies. So your attorney, is going to do the research on who they can sue and everything, and I'm sure you're got good representation. So again, it'd be unethical for me to get too involved in trying to give you additional information.
All right, no problem.
All right, but thank you for calling. I wish I could. Okay, thanks. All right, thanks.
Thanks.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. If you have a legal question, 877. What a bad set of facts that was. Gosh, unbelievable. 877 is the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877 is your toll-free number, 943-9673. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, we have a way you can get it for free, and it's free all the time. This is not new. So, and this is something that I give out at speaking engagements. We have speaking engagements every week somewhere, it seems, and there's no charge for that. If you have a group that needs a speaker, then give us a call. Look, we have a presentation that we can give regarding estate planning, asset protection. Had one this past week in Solavita, which is in close to Orlando, in a private community. But if you have a church group, a group that meets, I was one of my clients yesterday, had a group that meets Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock. They wanted to know if I was available then, and I am. I love going out and giving talks in the community and have a little version of Ask an Attorney, because once I get there and once I finish my talk on what we've agreed that my topic would be, then we just take legal questions. So it's kind of a fun event for most people to attend. So if you have a need for a speaker or you would like the free estate planning poster sheet, you can call our office at 1-800. This is an office number now, 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200, 1-800-226-3529. 226-3529. And glad to come. We had a major, got a couple of major events in Jacksonville. I had a newcomers club. It was actually a new member, new resident, alumni group. So this club has a way of welcoming new members to the community, and this was an alumni group over at the Marsh Landing Country Club. Had a chance to speak in several churches here, ask an attorney when I come into a church, talk about being a good steward, talk a little bit about charitable giving in the presentation on those type of meetings, but just a lot of home association. Some mobile home parks have the big community houses where they have coffee meetings every week, anytime, anything like that. Love to come out and do that. So if you'd like to contact my office for next year about one of those, toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. If you'd like the free estate planning poster sheet, again, just call in with the same request. Just ask for that. Go to extension 200. And again, that's 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. All right, so I'm not sure what this name is. Is it Maylene?
Yes.
Maylene, okay. What can we do for you? You're calling from Haines City?
Good morning. Yes, uh-huh.
Are you listening to 90.3 FM?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's right in Haines City, so what can we do for you?
Yes. My problem is I have a dispute with the light company, but I want no service, no meter, no nothing until they settle the dispute. But they won't take the meter.
This is who is this now? This is the electric company?
Yes. Could I give their name?
No, it's not really necessary. So what is your you want to stop your service?
Yes. I want to stop the service until they won't settle the dispute. What happened was their company sprayed all my trees, and I called the city, and the city got with the electric company and found out they did it. So they would replace it or clean it up. So I had to go take all the brown out. So now I don't want their service because they wouldn't settle the dispute. I don't want their service.
All right, let me ask you this. What do you, if you take the meter out, what are you going to do for electricity?
Oh, I got a solar system coming. What is this thing called? I forgot. Generex coming.
It's coming, but it hasn't gotten there yet.
No, they haven't got here yet. But so they won't take the meter. And I don't know why they won't take the meter, because they don't private property.
Why don't you send them a certified, if I were you, I'd get your solar system installed before you cut off your electricity. But appropriate time, just send them a certified letter to that you want to terminate your service, electrical service. Calling doesn't work. Send them a certified letter.
Okay, I see. All right, call. Okay, I sent a certified letter requesting them to take their meter.
Terminate the service is what you want to ask for to do.
Okay, terminate.
Yeah, if you just tell them to take the meter, that doesn't mean you. I know. They're going to do that when they terminate the service, though. But your main thing you want to request is to terminate the service, okay?
Okay, terminate the service.
Yeah.
And then I get them to take the meter out.
Ma'am, if they terminate the service, they'll take the meter.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right, thanks for calling. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to Maria in St. Petersburg.
Hello?
Hello, Maria.
Yeah, so I got in a car accident about a month ago. I was driving straight on a through lane, and a guy made a left turn in front of me. I was in the middle lane. I swerved to the right, and he kept going to the right, so I hit him in the back quarter panel. I didn't hit him in the middle, so I didn't hurt his passenger. I waited to find out what was going to happen. The police did not cite him, but they, because they didn't see it, they said, but they wrote down in the report, yes, he had turned in front of me, you know, and he admitted it. I had admitted it. So the insurance companies, his is Progressive, mine is Geico, said that they would cut a deal to determine what portion of it was my fault. And I said, I wasn't at fault. I was going straight. I had a green light. It was at a green light. And he turned in. He had to make sure we were clear. And they said, no, that's not the way they do that. And so they told me it was 80% him, 20% me. Now, mind you, this car is a 2008 Suzuki. So the range is like 2,800 to 4,600. But they called me back and they said, okay, well, we're going to give you $3,200 for your car, which is in great shape, low mileage, and we're going to pay the sales tax, which is like $200. So we'll give you 80% of that. And I was like, but none of this was my fault. Like, I don't feel that's right. And they said, well, you...
Hey, Maria. Maria.
Yeah.
If you call me or email me, I'll give you the name of a personal injury attorney. I know there's no injury mentioned in your statement, but I'll give you a personal injury attorney that deals with insurance companies about car accidents and liability issues. And I think it'd be your best bet to talk to this attorney as opposed to what you're entitled to from the insurance company.
Okay.
So if you can contact me, I'll be glad to get you set up to talk to that person.
The number I called?
Well, can you email me?
Yes.
Then I'll just email you back the information. All right, so it's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Chris in Tampa. Bye-bye. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And you?
Oh, I've been better. Can I ask you a side question just before I get into my topic?
Sure.
Can I ask you what actually was the cause of the death of your friend Mark Govan? I was a fan, and it just bugs me that I don't know what killed him.
Yeah, Mark had a rare blood disorder that he received and was getting treatment for it, and had a appointment at the Mayo Clinic up in Rochester, Minnesota, and just never got there. We couldn't get an appointment in time before. This is my understanding of what happened to Mark. Because I would see Mark in the studio on Sunday mornings at the show, and we would talk. And when he came in one Sunday morning about a week and told me he had a medical issue, told me a little bit about it, told me, and then the next week he wasn't there, and the next time I was there, I got word that he passed away. So it was very unfortunate. It all happened very, very quickly.
Oh, wow, well, yeah, because he was really enjoyable. I really enjoyed
it. Yeah, Mark was one of those guys, even though I wasn't that interested in plants and so forth, he was very, very good. There, you know, if you're good on radio, it doesn't matter if you're interested. Like, there's some fishing shows. I don't go fishing, but I love to hear people... good radio people talk about fishing and things like that, even though I'm probably not going to go fishing anytime soon. And Mark was one of those talented people who could talk about trees and plants and what to plant and when to plant it and what kind of fertilizer to use. He was just awesome on the radio. And just the fact that he was good on radio, it really didn't matter to me what the subject was. So I always used to enjoy listening to him. And he was also a friend, so I knew him a long time.
Yeah.
But all right.
Yeah, that's I like live and local radio, and as long as it's local and live, I enjoy it no matter what.
Yeah, that's not too many. It's not too many people like Mark and myself who actually do live radio and take the live questions. And you know, he and I go way back. He did that. He didn't do it quite as long as I did, but he did talk radio for at least like 20 years or so or more. And you know, I'm in my 35th year, so I've known him a long time, and we've been on multiple stations together along the way. So yeah, we're really sorry to see him pass away there.
Yeah, I appreciate what you do, though. Just wanted to.
Well, thank you.
I woke up this past Monday morning, and just happened to be looking outside, and there on my completely owned property by my wife was a Hillsborough County code enforcement person taking pictures of my mother's completely owned car that used to belong to my father. He passed away 3 years ago, and my mother just finished paying off about a year ago, and she's on a fixed income. She's 8 years old. And while I was seeing red after I went out there, and I think he told me something like I'd be in court sometime in January. And I'm just wondering, what right do I have any rights? I mean,
what's the problem with the car? What was the problem with the car?
It's got an expired tag. It's been sitting for 3 years. Nobody's driving it. My mother doesn't drive. Has a flat tire. Has a faded hood. I mean, it's not a hazard, a physical hazard to anybody. It hasn't moved in 3 years.
What did they say the problem was?
He said the expired tag and flat tire. So, I mean, I'm not really in the mood to be dropping in Hillsborough County probably like $2,500 to pay for insurance, plus registered car, which would be like $500 for a car that's just sitting there. I mean, I totally, I'm only a high school graduate. I mean, I get the concept that if a car is on
the road. Well, Chris, so I have an attorney. If you've listened to me on the Sunday radio show I do there in Tampa, he has been a guest many times. His first name is Hunter, but he deals with issues like that. And if you want to if you email me, I'll contact you. His name and information, he can probably take care of that for you.
Oh, okay. But can I just get an explanation on, like, who can come onto my property? And I just don't understand that. Did that code enforcement person just
somebody probably filed a complaint to investigate.
Oh, yeah, he did tell me that. He said it was.
So if somebody complains, they're going to go investigate, and then they're going to do something. But I think Hunter can probably take care of that for you I don't want to promise what someone else can do, but I think he can probably get the fine removed based on the circumstances that it's not being used and so forth. Though, if it's not being used, why don't you sell it?
That's what we were planning on doing. We just didn't expect to have a gun put to our head. You know, we were planning on doing it probably this spring. And fixing it up and selling it, but it needs work. And my mother's, like I said, on a Social Security check, and she's trying to save some money. It needs a couple grand worth of work. And, we weren't there yet, and all of a sudden we get a gun put to our head.
Yeah. Yeah, contact me, and I'll give you Hunter's contact information.
Okay, Jeff. Does that person have a right to just walk on my property? Is there anybody that doesn't have a right
A policeman or a code enforcement type of person usually has that right. So, yes, probably.
It's free lane.
Especially since they had a complaint. Even though that doesn't sound like a serious complaint, somebody complained, so they're just basically doing their jobs. But Hunter can discuss that with you as well.
Okay, Joe.
All right. Thanks. Let's go to Ann in Lakeland. Hey, Ann. We got about a minute, Ann. Are you still there?
Okay. Can I go to the courthouse and have my three adult children's name put on my property title?
Well, you can go to the courthouse, but they're not going to prepare the deed, so you would need an attorney to prepare the deed for you to put their name on there. But that you probably need to have a discussion, because that's probably not an advisable thing to do, put their name on the property.
Really?
And that's, because that's making a gift, and you could lose some homestead rights and privileges, and it's not really a wise thing to do.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much, God bless you.
Thank you. Hey, if you're listening in the Jacksonville area, I'm going to continue on next hour on the Real Estate Show. And I see Howard in studio without Angela today, so I get to play Angela's part for at least a bit. And glad to be there and glad to be a guest on that show. So stay tuned if you're in the Jacksonville area on 600 WBOB or FM 101.1. Stay tuned for the best real estate show in town. All right, and that's one of those radio shows I like to listen to on my way home every week. Great show, great information, so stay tuned for that. If you'd like to contact our office, we have a toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. Office number, 1-800-226-3529. You have a great weekend. So long.